Welcome, we are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Yud Amud Beis, at the very end of the Daf, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Chiya. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Chiya. On the Halech Baderech, one who is traveling on the Derech, on the road, Al Yochal Yoser Mishnei Ra'avon, should not eat more than he would eat in a time of famine, meaning he should not eat a lot, should eat very little. My time, oh, what's the reason for this? Hocha Targimo Mishum Ma'aina, B'marava Amri Mishum Mizone. So Hocha, here, when we are talking about Bavel, they interpreted this halacha as being because of the potential damage that could be done to a person's Ma'ayana, their intestines, their insides. B'marava in Eretz Yisrael, Mishum Mizone. What's the concern? The concern is that you'll run out of food. So one seems to relate to health considerations, and one relates to rationing your food. So my Beinayhu, says the Gemara, what's the difference between these two interpretations of why it is that a person should limit their eating in the course of their travel? Ika Beinayhu, says the Gemara, the difference is the Yosef Ba'arba. Let's say you're traveling on a ship. So if you're on a ship, so concerned that the food might not be enough for the trip, so that is something that would be of concern. So there would be a reason to limit one's eating. However, to worry about the intestinal problems, that's not necessarily a concern, because you're not actually moving on the ship. The ship is moving. You're simply at a more relaxed state on the ship. The mode of travel is not one that will erode your larger health concerns. Inami, another possible nafkamina would be the ka'azil me'avna le'avna, that you're traveling from an inn to another inn. And if you're doing so then food itself is something that you could procure in all of these different places. So if the reason is because of rationing your food, one would not in this case be required or not have to give attention to limiting your food intake. However, the concern about the intestinal health, that would be a concern. After all, one is in a situation where one's moving from place to place, and that could have a detrimental effect on one's health. Rav Papa called Parsu Parsa Ochel Chada Rifta. Rav Papa used to eat an entire loaf of bread every single Parsa, meaning he, when he traveled, did not limit how much food he ate. Why? Because he held the reason had nothing to do with limiting your food for the purpose of rationing, but rather it had to do with your general intestinal health. And since the Mefarshim explained Rav Papa was a larger individual, he can handle the intestinal challenges, the health challenges, better than most. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, Kol Amariv Atzmo B'Shnei Ra'avon, anyone who starves himself in the times of Ra'avon, in the times of hunger, Nitzal Mimisa Mishuna, is saved from a Misa Mishuna. A Misa Mishuna is a uncommon type of death, a particularly cruel type of death. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, the Rav Padcha Mimaves, that with famine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Padcha, he redeems you Mimaves from death. May Rav Mibayile, does the Pasuk, the Pasuk should have said, May Rav, from hunger. What do you mean, Bit Rav, which means with hunger? Elahachi Kamar, brother, this is what the Pasuk was trying to convey. Bishar Shemariv Atzmo Bishnei Ra'avon, as a schar, as a reward for withholding yourself from indulging in food during years of ra'avon, during years of famine, nitzal mimisa mishuna, you will be saved from that misa. So bira'av doesn't refer to the famine in the general world, it refers to hungering yourself. Bira'av padcha mimaves. When you hunger yourself, when you starve yourself in years that other people are suffering, you yourself will be saved from death. And this is the notion, as the Gemara is going to explicate further, that when Klal Yisrael is suffering some sort of larger calamity, that is it is incumbent on every individual to connect themselves in their sensitivity and in their experience to the larger world of what Klal Yisrael is enduring. Like the Gemara says, Amarei Shlokish, or Shlokish says, Asa la'adam l'shamesh mitaso b'shnei ra'avon. A person shouldn't engage in marital relations during years of famine. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Uli Yosef yulod shnei vanim b'terem tavo shnasa ra'av. That Yosef had two sons, that were born, but they were born before, b'terem, before the years of hunger. Meaning, Yosef did not go ahead and have children during those years of hunger. And that comes to prove that that we should not, again, indulge in intimacy, in things that are the pleasurable aspects of our relationships, during a time where Klal Yisrael in general are suffering. Tosis raises the fact in this Gemara, Limtomar Hari Yocheved Nolda, but Yocheved herself was born to Levi after these years had already begun. So how do you explain that? So there are two different possibilities. One possibility is that this din of Reish Lakish was Amidos Chasidus. It's something that Yosef chose for himself. And therefore, the Gemara is trying to tell us this would be an appropriate Midas Chasidus for someone to do. However, it's not something that's required of anybody. Other Mefarshim say no, that it actually is or can be an Isser. However, Yosef was under the impression that his family in Eretz Yisrael was in fact in the midst of a hunger. However, as we've seen earlier in the Masechta, they really in fact did have enough food. And so therefore, when you look at what was going on in their homes, they were not necessarily conducting themselves in that manner, in that restraint type of manner, because they were not experiencing a hunger. Tanu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught us, Bizman Shi Yisrael Shuriyim B'Tsar, at a time that the Klal Yisrael is in Tsar, Uperesh Echad Mehem, and somebody separates themselves and takes an attitude that they're not part of this particular Tsar. So says the Gemara, Boyin Shnei Malachim Asharei Shemel Avin Lola Adam. So two angels that are generally melave, that generally escort an individual, kamu manichan lo yedean al rosho, and they put their hands on this individual, on his head, the omrim, and they say, ploni ze sheperish min hatzibur al yireh bin nechamas tzibur. This individual who separated himself from the community will not be part of the nechama, the consolation that the community will experience when ultimately the tzara passes. Tanya Idach, we learned in another brayso, Bizman shatzibur shari b'tzar, at a time that the tzibur is in the midst of tzar, al yomar adam, a person shouldn't say, elech lebesi, v'ochel v'eshte, I'm going to go to my home and I'll eat and I'll drink, v'sholom alayich nafshi, and I will have shalom, I'll have peace on my soul. V'im osa kein, and if he does this, olav akasuv omer, the Torah says regarding him, the hinei sason v'simcha, behold, sason and simcha, types of rejoicing, harog bakar v'shachot son, when people say they should kill the cattle, they should shech the tzon, the sheep, echo basar v'shasa yayin, they should eat meat and they should drink wine, echo v'shasa, they should eat and drink, ki machar namus, because tomorrow they're going to die. In other words, umaksiv basrei, what does it say after this pasuk? V'nigla ba'ozne Hashem tzvakos, that your words are revealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tzvakos, im yichupar ha'avon hazeh lachem al tumusun. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this avon, this sin, will not get kapara until you lose your life. So in other words, a person is not permitted to remove themselves from the general experience that's going on around them. Adkan midas beinonim. That's what we say when we're talking about a beinoni, somebody whose general spiritual standing is of mediocre. About midas rishayim, but when we're dealing with wicked people, maksiv, what does it say? Esu echo yayin, that these people say to each other, come, we'll get wine, and his boss, sheikhar, and we'll become drunk with sheikhar, v'hayo chazeh yom machar, and tomorrow we'll do it again. It'll be just like this. Maxi Basrei was to say after this, at Sadik Ovad, that because of their behavior, a Sadik of that generation will be lost. The Einish Sam Aleif, and no one will pay attention, ki mivnei aron esaf at Sadik, that because of this evil, the Sadik is taken and ultimately loses his life. Ella says the Gemara, Yitzar Adam Yina Tzibur. A person should suffer themselves together with the Tzibur. Shekein Matzinu B'Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we find with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shetzir Atzmar Ima Tzibur. That he suffered along with the Tzibur. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Videi Moshe Kevedin. When the Klal Yisrael was fighting Amalek, that Moshe's hands were very heavy. Vayichu Eben Vayasimu T'achta Vayeshev Aleh. They took a stone and they placed it underneath him, and that's how Moshe sat. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a bed or a pillow that he could sit on, but rather Moshe said, since Klal Yisrael are in Tsar, I should also be with them in an experience of Tsar. I should also feel that sense of empathy with Klal Yisrael. And anybody who suffers together with the Tzibur, they will merit to see the consolation for the Tzibur. Maybe a person will say, well, who's going to tell? Who's going to testify against me that I have separated myself? Says the Gemara, Avne Beso Shel Adam, the stones of the home of a person, the Koros Beso Shel Adam, and the beams of the home of a person, Me'idimbo, they are going to testify against him. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Chavakuk, that Ki Eben Mikir Tizak, a stone will, from the wall, will tizak, will cry out, the chafis me'etz ya'anena, and a brick will answer from the eitz, from the wood that's in the wall. So in other words, the very fabric of the homes themselves will testify as to a person's attitudes towards the general tzibur. So you might think that in the privacy of your own home, you could live as an individual, regardless of what's going on outside with the rest of Klal Yisrael. No, we all have to be together. We all have to take interest in and also shape our lives in accordance with the suffering that Klal Yisrael is experiencing. One might think that, you know, if the larger Jewish people is experiencing a great calamity, or some other area of the Jewish people are experiencing a great calamity, so a person should have compassion, a person should support them from afar, maybe say some Tehillim. But each individual should comport themselves based on the context that their lives is experiencing at that very moment. So the Gemara is coming to teach us that no, there's a sense of arevus that has to exist, not only in ensuring that we help people and we take care of people, but even ensuring that we have a empathy and a sense of connection and experience, collective experience, what's going on for the rest of the Jewish people. Says the Gemara, El Emuna, I apologize, Devei Rabbi Shila Amri, they say in the house of Rabbi Shila, Shnei Malachi Asharis Malavim Lo Adam, there are two Malachim that are Malava a person, that accompany a person, Hei Me'idim Alav, and they also testify against the person. Shenemar, as it says, Ki Malachav Yitzav Eloch, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will command the Malachim for you, meaning they're going to say the truth about you. Rabbi Chidka Omer Nishmaso Shel Adam Hei Me'idim Alav, a person's actual neshama will testify upon him in terms of what his real inner experiences are. Shenemar, as it says, Mishocheves Chaykecha, from that which sleeps within you, within your chest, meaning your neshama, Shmor Pischei Picha, you should guard the openings of your mouth. V'yesh Omrim, and there are those that hold a varav shal Adam, the limbs of a person, Me'idim Bo. Shenemar, Atem Eidayni Umashem, that you are the witnesses. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, meaning the witnesses, meaning all of the different components of a person's body. El Emuna ve'ein Avel, says the Braisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a El Emuna, he's a God of faith, ve'ein Avel, and he doesn't make mistakes, he doesn't do anything wrong. El Emuna, what does it mean he's a God of faith? K'shem Shnifram min Rishayim L'Olam Haba, just like the wicked people, the Rishayim, are punished in Olam Haba, in the next world, Afil alavera kala sha'osin, even for the smallest sin that they commit, kach nifroi min ha-tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. So to the tzadikim are often punished in this world, alavera kala sha'osin, even for the smallest thing that they commit. Says the Gemara, the Ein Avel, what does it mean that he doesn't make a mistake? Keshem shemishalmin schar le-tzadikim ba'olam haba, just like people who are tzadikim are given schar in Olam Haba, afil ha-mitzvah kala sha'osin, even for the smallest amount of a mitzvah that they do. Kach mishamin schar l'rishoyim ba'olam hazeh. So too, wicked people are given schar in olam hazeh, afilu mitzvah kala she'osin, even for the smallest thing that they do. In other words, somebody, tzadik v'yosharhu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzadik, he's just, v'yoshar, and he is straight. In other words, everybody gets a consequence for how they live their life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system of justice to ensure that those that live their life in accordance with the expectations of Torah and mitzvos get the greatest reward possible. The greatest reward possible is a reward in the Olam HaEmes. And for those smaller things that they do wrong, they receive the minimal punishment possible. And the minimal punishment possible, even though sometimes it's very difficult for us to relate to this, is to get that punishment in Olam Hazeh. The Rishayim, so the things that they do wrong, they get the greatest punishment possible. And that punishment is given to them in the Olam HaEmes. And in terms of the few things that they may do right, so since that occurs in the larger context of a lifestyle that is rebellious and that is antithetical to what we stand for, so those small things that they do right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes even reward them here in Olam Hazeh, presenting to us the impression that there is a lack of justice. That look, people who are evil thrive in this world, and people who are righteous do not. When really HaKadosh Baruch Hu has worked everything out so that a person's larger spiritual and religious context drive the framework within which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them their punishments and their rewards. Says the Gemara the following. Amru, we lost our place. Amru b'shas b'tirasa shal adam lebeis olamo. That at the time that a person passes away from this world to go to the beis olamo, the permanent home, kol masav niftarim lefanav. All of his maisim come before him. V'omrim lo, and they say to him, kach v'kach asisa b'makom ploni b'yom ploni. Did you do this at this particular place and on this particular time, this particular day? Who Omer, an individual responds, hey, yes I did. The Omer lo chasom. So then the Maisim say to the person, sign. You have to sign. You have to affirm that you take responsibility for that which you did in this world. Shenemar, as it says, biyad kol adam yachtom. That it is in the hands of every person, yachtom, to sign. And Kadosh Baruch Hu records everything we do, and then everybody confirms or affirms that themselves. V'lo od, and not only that, ela shematzdik olav es adin. But a person is matzdik, they confirm the judgment that they're going to receive. Omer lohem, telling them, yofe dintus dintuni, that he's been judged correctly. L'kayim ha-shnemar leman titzdak bidvorecha. To fulfill the pasuk, which says, leman, in order, titzdak bidvorecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be confirmed, should be matzdik in your words. Meaning that a person themselves confirms everything it is that they have done in their lifetime. So this Gemara means to say that not only is there a record that is kept in Shamayim, Ozen Shamas, Ayin Roeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we do, and there's going to be Schar V'Onesh for the various things that we do. But we ultimately have to take full responsibility for everything that we do. It's not something that's happening separate from us. At the end of the day, we will have to confront ourselves. That's part of the din. Part of the din is not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts us about what we've done and what we haven't done, but that we ultimately confront ourselves. And that is why it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves about who we are and where we're holding and where our failings are and where our successes are. And that if we delude ourselves into thinking that we are living lives of virtue when really we are facing great challenges and not necessarily meeting those challenges successfully, the only person we're hurting is ourselves. Perhaps we don't experience it day to day in life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping track of all of this, but part of what we have to do is to be honest with ourselves. We're going to have a reckoning with our life and the choices that we've made, and we are going to have to take ownership over those choices. We're going to have to be chasom on those choices.